Come stop and take a trip down on my block, where you see hidden potential, young minds sharper than pencil, and ain't afraid to speak their mind if they got something against you. We standing with you, we tackle issues like civic pride. Hate will cease to exist, just put our differences aside. From my side to your side, from Dutch Town to South Side, from Penrose to North Side, from Benton Park to Old North, to West End to West Side. We bless when we step out, we stand down, rise up, stand together, wise.
This is Stitchcast Studio, produced by St. Louis Story Stitchers in St. Louis, Missouri.
In episode 6, we discuss the lifting of quarantine and explore the facts, fictions, and fears of life in the new reality with special guest Jamie K.P. Dennis.
They say who that, but you already knew that. That beat them Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers.
Yeah. Hey everybody, it's Emira here from St. Louis Story Stitchers. We're back again with another Stitchcast Studio recording. Thank you all for tuning in. Today, our special guest, you may know him, KP Dennis. He's here with us to chop it up. KP, can you kind of give the people just a little bit about you? They don't know you, but they should, but just in case they don't.
Well, if you don't know, now you know. You know what I'm saying? I want to give a big North Side thumbs up to the Story Stitches and the Stitchcast podcast. It's happening right now. I'm glad to be with y'all. You know, I'm a founding member of the St. Louis Story Stitches, and we just want y'all to listen up to some real conversation that we're about to have with each other. You know, from the new generation to the old generation. As they say, new school foods and old school rules.
How y'all been, though, like, since the city opened back up? Y'all been out, like, doing stuff, you know?
No.
No?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit, but not really going public places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In my house.
I feel that.
I don't trust the government. Y'all can go back outside. Mm-hmm.
Yo, I was thinking, too, I'm like, so they gonna let us go back outside, but they not even opening they office buildings until, like, the earliest is June. It's like,
man, I feel like we all on punishment. We gotta do whatever they say to do. And they give us a freaking what is it called? An allowance with the stimulus check, and then now we are punishment. Now we are punishment. We can go out. Y'all can go outside now.
But it's going right back to them much.
Yeah.
But the main topic for today is how will the opening, or you know, the lift, affect our communities?
I feel like the lift is a bit premature in my own personal opinion.
Agreed.
I understand the mechanisms that's in place, why they're trying to make an early lift, because of economic, you know, motivation.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of people, such as the urban community, which just so happen to be Black and brown individuals, who have already been removing the lift off of quarantine and doing more than what's necessary, you know, because mm-hmm. of knowledge about how to protect themselves out here. So that's the red flag for me. It's the basic misinformation, miscommunication, all of the media dogma, and you know, all of the so-called Facebook prophets and people that mislead and lead people astray. We need to come together as far as older people, younger people, and begin to realize that nobody is more important than the next. You know what I mean? These kids go out to party, they come back to the older people and they get them sick. So we just got to be more, you know, cognizant of the way we moving out here. I don't really think it's a point the finger thing. I feel like everybody can learn from somewhere. And you know, it's a lot of people my age, you know, I'm in my 40s, and a lot of people don't think as I think, you know. I think very young and, you know, progressive, if you will. Like Amira said, I heard someone talking about, it's not about, you know, the color, but it is about the mindset. And it's also, you know, on the contrary, I believe it's not hereditary what racism is. Racism is a learned behavior. And so if you study it, if you take a white infant, a Spanish infant, a Black infant, and you let them intermingle and socialize, they're not going to have any differences. They're going to treat each other like brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm.
So since we're talking, you talked a little bit about the lift being kind of premature.
Yeah.
I want to know, did you all even expect for the lift to, like, happen as soon as it did? Like, did you all expect that?
I thought it was going to be the whole summer, because I thought it was going to, you know, be the first wave of the virus, and then once that was over, we were still going to be quarantined until, you know, the second wave was over, or to prevent from the second wave even. But like KP said, it's misinformation. You know, people are either extremely scared and, you know, taking radical precautions, or they're you know, not doing enough.
Yeah, no, that's real. You know, coming from my standpoint as an essential worker, I've actually never stopped. Since COVID-19 has touched down, it's more or less my work doubled and it spiked, actually, because the need is so great out here that you find there are many families that are encountering economic hardship due to losing their jobs. You can feel the crunch. You can feel the healthcare system about to implode because there's just so much need, but there's not enough workforce or not enough infrastructure, you know, to support the endeavor.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what we're faced with, and you have to do something. It's almost like if we don't get this economic system going, then the dire straits are going to be even greater after the lives are lost. We're still going to perish as a nation. There's some real serious things, man. People can starve out here.
Yeah, for sure. I don't want to get too much into the, you know, political side, but it's like, make you want to.
Everything's politics, so it's very hard.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like if we open back up, you know, it could be extremely dangerous.
Yes,
and, you know, we could lose a lot of lives. But if we don't, it's like it's devastating to this economy and to these families. Like, you know, families like my own and a lot of other people in St. Louis that aren't having their economic needs met during this pandemic. And so it's definitely a hard conflict to find the solution for.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
The small businesses are hit the hardest. You know, they're not able to survive because, unlike those major corporations and, you know, franchises, they've gotten support from the government, and these small businesses are actually the ones that are suffering because they can't keep up. They're just like general population now. You know, they're in the soup line, so to speak. It's a twofold thing. If you look at it, you know, like I said, personally, I don't agree. I think we could wait a couple of more months, you know, if I had my way, but they want to get it going. And, you know, from my viewpoint, we're feeding the hungry. So every weekend, we're up in the ante. You know, we started out with 1,000 people fed, moved up to 15 to 35 and on. So there's actually some good things that's coming out of COVID-19. A lot of people are starting to, you know, reassess, reevaluate the way they've been living, whether or not they feel like they've been slaves or forced into servitude from having a job. You know, now you want to be your own brand.
Exactly.
I think that's
That's crazy, because I was just going to ask, too, if you all could see anything changing for the better because of the pandemic. What would it be? Do you, anybody else have, like, any thoughts on that? Like, have you seen anything?
I think, like, nurses and, like, doctors and all of them, they've always worked, like, super hard. And I think because of the pandemic, like, everyone's, like, really starting to, like, really, really appreciate, like, what they do and seeing how hard they work. And it's, like, they've always been working hard. They've always been putting their selves in. It took the pandemic for y'all to realize that. So I think, like, if anything's going to change, it's going to be, like, appreciation and gratitude for the people who are, like, out there, like, every day, whether there's a pandemic or not, they're still exposing themselves to, like, a ton of stuff. So.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I definitely see that as a really positive outcome of this pandemic. Not only appreciation for our, you know, extremely hardworking healthcare workers and other essential workers, but just appreciation for community and a family, especially because, you know, everybody's stuck at home with their families or their roommates or whatever, or even just themselves, and they're forced to look at their relationship with the people who are closest to them and assess whether it's healthy or not, and, you know, assess the habits that you have and how you interact with people, and really take a good look at yourself to heal yourself and, you know, learn to be happy even, you know, at home, just
small
with your family, because that's really, yeah, exactly, because that's, I mean, before this pandemic, as a teenager, I never would have been, like, I would have been bored out of my mind sitting at home with my family, been like, oh my God, do I have to, you know, complaining a whole lot, but since it, I've been, like, visiting my family, this is who's closest to me.
What's going on, everybody? It's that time again. It's time for another StitchCast Studio Arts Interlude. Yup, that's right. It's time to pick the city up. This week, we have an original Story Stitcher song entitled To the Prairie. Let's take a listen.
Yeah. Where we going to? Straight to the prairie. To the prairie.
That's a long way out there.
Purple, yellow, blue, so many colors in this habitat. Even though I'm city slick, I'm not afraid to travel back. Way out to the countryside, hit that native grassland. Tranquil in the sunny meadows,
we thought we was advanced.
Ain't no sounds of ambulance, sirens or the boys in blue. Tonight devoid of gunshots, but nature makes some noises too. The moist dew saturates the green pastures, which flows like the motion of the waves in the ocean. To master this environment, acquiring and managing, restore it to its original state that it was planted in. So if the planet ends, at least you saw its majesty. Put your phone on airplane mode and we'll be right back after these. Messages, reception is a barrier, connect for real. The wilderness is therapy, escapism that let you chill. Historic regions where the wildflower stretches. Warm season, grass species, territory so precious.
Come on, let's go. Let's take a ride, hop in the car, take a drive.
To the prairie,
where the grass always green on the other side.
At the prairie,
let's go. Come on, let's go.
Let's go.
Come on, let's go.
Let's go.
Come on, let's go.
Let's go.
On the adventure, let's venture through green pastures.
At the prairie.
Solidarity, nothing but smiles and laughter.
At the prairie.
Let's go.
Come on, let's go.
Let's go.
Come on, let's go.
Let's go.
Come on, let's go.
Let's go.
The Great Plains, so amazing. Tall grass, nearly 6 feet. None woody, acre after acre. Take a quick peek. You ever see the stars at night without traffic and street lights? It's like we in the Milky Way without passing that peace pipe. Coyotes and coyotes, prairie dogs and buffalo. Educate and investigate, cause it all depends on what you know. So cultivate and we procreate. We indigenous to the stony state. We authenticate, but we demonstrate. And it's just one rule, don't be fake. This rich soil substrate is glaciated like ice age. I think I need to get away from my hood where I stay. We protect that wildlife, the game is restoration. Trees is only 10% cause they keep them fires blazing. Domestic tranquility, let's medicate and we feel the breeze. Burn the trees and we hunt with ease without maple soaks and hickories. Native Americans settle the land and the prairies are evidence of it in fact. Nothing is stressful, it's life in the city. Get up on the highway cause I'm going past.
Let's take a ride, hop in the car, take a drive.
To the prairie,
where the grass always green on the other side.
At the prairie,
let's go. Come on, let's go.
Let's go.
Come on, let's go.
Let's go.
Come on, let's go.
Let's go.
On the adventure, let's venture through green pastures.
At the prairie.
Solidarity, nothing but smiles and laughter.
At the prairie,
let's go.
Come on, let's go.
Let's go.
Come on, let's go.
Let's go.
Come on, let's go.
Let's go.
I've been working on consistency, like during this pandemic, and you know, meditating every day, you know, trying to keep my calm, you know, in situations that affect me negatively, you know, just being affected by things less and looking for the real meaning. You know, if somebody's yelling at you, they're not actually yelling at you for the things that they say, because most of the things they say is distorted, but you know, just listening for the energy and rather than the actual words, and just recognizing that and recognizing that everybody's hurt, so you have to look past, you know, them trying to project that hurt onto you and see their own hurt, and then, you know, try and heal that.
Yeah
I see that.
And I never would have seen that if it wasn't for this pandemic, because I would have just, you know, had space to just walk away and leave and, you know, wallow in my own negativity and never see it from other people's perspective.
Yeah,
that's real. I agree with all of it, you know, because from my perspective, just being appreciative for everybody in your community, like even the fast food industry, you know, the fast food workers, appreciating those that touch your food, touch things that perhaps could be the reason why you end up ill. I have a profound, newfound respect you know, for those workers, and you want to pay them competitive wages. You want to advocate for those guys to be, you know, thought of as people that are a part of our community, because a lot of times we used to look down on those workers, the janitors, the custodians, all those people. And now those people are the most, you know, sought after individuals now after a pandemic. So yeah, I agree with everybody.
Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah, I completely agree with that. This has opened up whole other levels of respect that people have for the working class now, because
that's real.
I mean, during this pandemic, it wasn't, you know, the heroes weren't the CEOs. They weren't like, you know, you didn't see, you know, like, what did Bill Gates do during the pandemic? I'm sure he like donated or did something or whatever, but it was the working class people that are the heroes, the people who put their lives at risk just going to work. And it definitely opens up a lot of appreciation for, you know, the working class.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
for sure.
I feel like with me, it's being quarantined and like doing like the social distancing is like a habit now, you know? It's like, I don't think I'll be able to go back to interacting with with people how I used to, you know, walking up, getting over, eating after people, like, you know, I feel like that's, it's traumatic, but like in a good way, you know? But like a habit now. It's like, yeah, like, cause like I used to go outside, go play basketball, come back in the house, don't even wash my hands, don't have my hands all over my face. But now I'm washing my hands like every, I hate that it took a pandemic for me to be
to wash your hands.
I hate that it took a pandemic for me to keep basically my hygiene to where it's supposed to be, you know, to be washing my hands. I mean, wash my hands though. Like, I don't, like, I just never wash my hands as much as I do now.
Yeah. I feel you, bro. Point
there. Yeah. I don't think nobody has washed their hands as much as they do now. Shoot.
Man, every second I'm like,
after I touch anything, I'm like,
I don't even put my phone up to my face no more. When I'm always on speakerphone now, you know.
Same.
Like it's just like the things I notice in my, like, even the things in my house, I'd be scared to touch everything now, you know. But I guess it's for, like, you know,
As far as health goes, this pandemic has opened my eyes a lot, because not only to, you know, washing my hands more and being aware of what I'm touching and, you know, aware of the germs that are on my hands and on surfaces and on everything. But I've also been more aware of foods that can build my immune system and eating healthier to just help my body, you know, give my body that boost so that my immune system can be stronger and my body can process these toxins properly. Because we're built to filter this stuff out. You know, but we need to definitely eat right to help our body with that. And I'm glad that I'm conscious of that now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point. That's a great point, actually.
Aggressive.
Also, how have you all been able to, like, keep a positive perspective? Like, what are some things you do to, like, make sure that you don't just get in the dumps and, like, you know, like
meditation. It's so important. I feel like everybody should practice meditation, just taking a step back from the busyness and fast pace of, you know, life and even your own head. It can be so fast paced without you even realizing it, and just, you know, taking these deep breaths and integrating, you know, what happened throughout the day into your mentality and thinking about how different things made you feel throughout the day, and, you know, how you can handle situations better. And deep breaths, that is very important.
Essential. It's essential. And also, to piggyback off of her, or the veggie bag, you got to have hobbies. You know, if you don't have any hobbies,
veggie bag
over to, you know what I'm talking about, man. But you know, it's like having hobbies, having things that you've always wanted to do, setting small, realistic goals that you can work on during this pandemic. Because, you know, I've been getting way more creative than I ever could be. be when I had to get up every morning, putting on a suit, going to work, being able to roll out of the bed and participate in a Zoom meeting like I'm doing right now, has been exponential for my creative side. So, you know, just take advantage of the time off, you know, and the stimulus is the way it's set up. If people are really thinking economically and like capitalists, they can make this count.
I think for like keeping your sanity and, you know, just like getting, instead of just like getting super bummed about like how your summer's kind of ruined and stuff like that.
That's
just doing something that brings you like complete joy that you can't find like any cons about, like only pros. And just like kind of sharing that experience with other people. Just like, you know, when you're feeling down, just do something that brings you joy, like ultimate joy.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you all said. I've been kind of doing some of those same things, you know, because even though like I got little brother and little sister and a mom, you know, they can, you get around your family for long enough, you start losing your mind because of that. So, man, I've been having to do those things, you know, to just make sure that I'm leveled, that I'm not, you know, getting antsy with anybody, because you know, you be quick to pop
off. It happens.
I was just going to say, too, because I didn't even know about it, actually, because I've been kind of trying to keep away from the news for a little bit, because, you know, it's a lot of stuff that's not positive. So I've just been trying to kind of keep away from that. But I found out in a meeting today that some people decided yesterday to go to the Lake of the Ozarks.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know about y'all, but I feel like that has something to do with them, the premature, you know, lift. Like, it's gotten people, like, kind of comfortable. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like.
Well, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it has something to do with it, but it's not because of that incident, you know, at all. It's just the general idea, like we were talking about at first. When you have a society that's based off white supremacy, how are you going to tell them that you can't enjoy your civil liberties or your privileges as an American citizen, you know, to have a good time? And at the
I noticed that people are like protesting over this and, you know, throwing a fit. And I'm like, that's, you know, that's very privileged, you know.
Yeah, and they're going to get everybody else exposed from their callous ways.
Like, at the beginning of the COVID-19 in St. Louis, it got, you know, it got spread by this, you know, this girl in the county. She's, you know, she was told to be quarantined, and she made the choice to leave her house and go to a dance full of, like, hundreds of other people. And I was like, what are you, like, that's a lot of privilege and selfishness.
Absolutely.
There were like riots in Kansas City, I think, like a few weeks ago, of like people saying how like shutting the cities down and stuff is just like unconstitutional, and like they were like marching in front of the like city hall building, and I was like, super insensitive. Like, they're doing this for you.
That's literally in the Constitution that the government can take these precautions to protect the people.
And since we're talking about kind of like community and just doing things together, like, how do you all think that, how should we, you know, try to better prepare for if something else like this happens, or when they're talking about COVID possibly being a seasonal thing, like just
You try to keep that curve down. That, you know, we can keep it contained, because the thing is awareness and education. We are right now at that point where a lot more people are aware of how to protect themselves. Talking about masks, talking about keeping a proper distance from each other. That same thing we've been talking about is really what's going to protect us at the end of the day. It's not a vaccination. It's really just common sense.
Exactly.
And I feel like people should learn to stop being like so selfish. What I mean by that is like, being selfish is like, you saw the people at Osage Beach, like 2,000 people there. That's like the most selfish thing ever. Like, probably so much has spread it just, you know, in that time. All these people in the same pool.
Because like, the virus can carry over water, too. I mean, it can be carried by water. So
I bet even worse. That's gross. Nope. And the second that I saw that, you know, COVID-19 brought out a lot of greed. It showed us a lot of people in our community that didn't care for one another because they were buying all the essential supplies. They were emptying racks in stores to where no one else in the community could even buy, even if they had the wherewithal to get it.
Mm-hmm. So just buying up all the masks and things, even just buying up all those things so they can sell it back to people. That's I get that we're all, you know, you need your money, but we all are, you know, hurting economically right now. So
I mean, it comes down to common sense, too, though, because if your eyes are bigger than your stomach and you come to the feast and the buffet and you think you're going to eat everything there, you're just wrong. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A lot of people have got hand sanitizers that they're probably never going to get to.
I've been in the store just like a few times for necessary items, obviously wearing a mask. And I'm like, man, like, you're buying up all of the stuff. And
got a sale and a Groupon.
Right. And two, you're not wearing a mask. And right. I'm like, how are you buying all this stuff, but you're not wearing a mask?
Yeah, people are buying up all of, like, the WIC food, you know, women and children.
Yeah, the dairy, the cheeses and all of that, the bread, they're right. buying it all.
Exactly, and then it's like these families that rely on it can't get these foods anymore, and, you know, people are buying up all the kosher foods and just,
yeah,
and
I'm like, you gotta pay attention to the fact that the trucking industries have been impacted greatly, therefore you can't get these special items that we so take for granted to have, you know what I mean? So that's why we got to think like a community, not being selfish when you go to the store. Even if I could buy 20 of the same item, just get 5, you know, and leave some.
Yeah, and not only that though, but it's like, it also starts with fear. Like, it's like, you know, the first wave of people were selfish and they bought up all of these things. And then the second people come to the grocery store, they see all these signs of things that are running out, and then they get struck with this fear. Like, it happened when me and my mom went grocery shopping at the early start of the pandemic, you know. It was like, we saw these signs about everything running out, and then, you know, she started freaking out. She's like, do we need to, like, stock up? Do we need to, like, you know? And then it's like, you end up buying excess because of this fear, and
Because, you know, they'll drive you crazy if you listen to the news alone. You really have to take the temperature of society with your own two eyes. You know, a lot of times people stay in their little cubby holes and listen to media, and they don't go out for themselves to see what's going on. And I see a lot of sheeple out here today that, you know, aren't even protecting themselves the correct way.
Like, a lot of my friends just on their stories, on their social media, are like hanging out with their friends and stuff. And like, I understand, like, I've hung out with my friends, but like, I've taken like the precautions, like I've worn a mask and I've, you know, stuff like that. But they're just like, okay, well, the city is back open, so like, everything's cool now.
Pass on.
I just saw in my Snapchat the other day, my friend, and, you know, not only him, but like numerous people were posting this online flyer for this like giant party, like, and they were like 400 plus people. I'm like, what are you doing?
A massacre.
Like, and because they're like, they're getting comfortable with the city opening back up, like, the death rate is getting higher, and you're like, the fact that you're getting so comfortable that things are opening back up is the reason that we're gonna be doing this like back and forth for longer.
It'll hurt more people, it'll end up hurting the economy for longer, it'll, you know, delay things. Like, I'm really,
this is gonna be disastrous.
I heard that we might not even go back to school until fall of, or until spring of 2021. And I'm like, that's almost the entire school year. And that's scary. I'm not good at online school. So people need to stay inside so I can get good grades.
That's understandable.
It's a hard hit for the whole society.
Yeah. Like you said earlier, you know, even though people are being hurt very badly economically, they still have no sympathy for people who, you know, have nothing. Like, everybody's complaining about you know, all of these things going on, you know, not being able to have access to, you know, a lot of luxuries, and they still have no sympathy for people who have nothing. And that's, you know, I can't even claim to be any better than that either, because I haven't done anything to help these people either.
But, you know, it's interesting you say that, because I think about the elderly population and how they're dying even more rapidly these days. And they're becoming depressed. They're isolated more. You know, people are using that as the excuse not to go see granny or grandpa. And, you know, I feel like that's a population that we need to start paying more attention to.
That's why I'm grateful for this pandemic, too, because it's actually brought me close to my grandparents, because they were, I mean, they were terrified.
I bet.
Of, I mean, my grandma, she was talking to me. She planted a bunch of trees and she was like, yeah, it's okay, even if I'm not here to see them, and just started like freaking out. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. And she started like contemplating her death and everything. I'm like,
yeah, you remember that forever, though. You know, those type of moments with your family, you know.
Exactly, and so I've just been able to have a lot of conversations with her and talk to her about her life and, you know,
Understand. Listen
to her stories and listen to her advice and, you know, get to know her as a person, not just my grandma. And it's
right.
Great.
And know yourself, too, because like you said, we were talking about hereditary. Now, those things you do learn, what do you inherit?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Exactly. I've noticed that she's very much like me, and so it's amazing to see how connected we are and just sit across from her 6 feet away. And you know, just see myself in her posture, see myself in the way she carries herself and talks, and in the action she takes in these stories that she gives me. I'm like, it's amazing how similar we are, and I will never forget that.
Man, that's special right there.
I know when the pandemic first started, circulating, and all the talk about, you know, the older people being, you know, the main victims, I was for sure like scared, calling like, grandma, you okay? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was just kind of scared, man. I'm still scared.
Hurt.
You know, because my grandmother is still, my grandparents, they still go to work, like, you know, and their job's like, we need you, like.
It don't make sense to me, you know, that we will have that part of our society that paid their dues in their golden era have to go out in fear. You know what I mean? It's fear mongering that the media has been doing.
I think it's especially fearful for like the older people or the elderly people who have like different diseases that make them susceptible. Like my grandma, she has arthritis, and apparently like that's more susceptible to get the virus. Mm-hmm. And she's retired, and she was like filling all of her time with all these like different classes, and now she can't go to them. And she's just like really sad and really like kind of depressed because she has to be all alone.
That's what kills you.
And I think that it's like it's not just corona, like it's also like depression and just anxiety.
Exactly. We definitely need to have more compassion for these people who just, like the elderly people, they're I know a lot of them are terrified, and they're, you know, they've been left alone. And like you said, we are using, you know, a lot of people are using it for as an excuse to just, you know, disregard them completely. And we need compassion. They're scared. They need us, and we've needed them our entire lives.
Exactly. Yeah, agreed, y'all. We need each other.
Exactly. The last question I'll kind of ask, just so we can kind of wrap it up, because we had a nice, nice conversation. I really enjoyed it. I want to kind of end on a high note. Like, what is one positive thing you've experienced during the whole pandemic?
When I do, you know, feel the need to get out of my house, I can't, you know, go hang out with friends or go to, you know, like, anywhere public, so I'm like, okay, I can take walks and I can, you know, sun gaze and notice trees that are around me. And just since then, I've noticed that the, you know, one of my favorite things to see ever is just, you know, wind blowing through trees. It's stunning, and that's something I never would have even looked up and noticed without, you know, just taking these walks and immersing myself with the earth and nature. And
That's cool.
I think I've gotten like better at just like kind of my like self-worth and stuff, just because like I used to be like really bad at self-worth, like earlier in the evening, actually like not too long ago. And I've noticed like I've just been trying to get comfortable with myself, and like not everyone is worth my time. And if they're like going back to like you find out your real friends, like you really find out who's there for you and who you can be yourself with. And I just think it's really important.
You gotta get comfortable with yourself.
Exactly. The most positive thing that I figured out was I appreciate my lifestyle even more so, because I feel like I was already living, you know, pre-corona as a quarantined individual. Now I don't feel as weird, you know. I was the one that would wear masks for any reason, you know, going to a hospital or anything. Now everybody in the world's doing the same thing, so good about being prepared.
Yeah, that's dope, because Callie was actually kind of talking about that earlier, like not feeling alone, like, you know.
That's real. I can care.
Yeah, the introverts are having the time of their lives.
Man, we jam.
The most positive thing that I got from this, like Amara said, I was talking about not being alone, because like you can call anybody right now, anybody you know, and half us are gonna say the same thing, how we feeling, you know. It all got something to do with the pandemic, you know? So I feel like the feeling of not being alone and knowing that everybody's going through the same thing right now, and we can all agree on at least one thing, and it's like what we all going through right now, you know? Mm-hmm. Everyone is just emotionally neutral at this point. I'm just happy everybody I love, you know, and I know we all survived through this, you know? That's the biggest thing for me, is, you know, because like I'm just happy I haven't got a call like your mom or like your friend or like, you know, somebody that I knew, or they passed from the virus, you know, that calling, that people that I actually loved took advantage of the quarantine and just, you know, was not being selfish and did what they, you know, what they're supposed to do. And
man,
so
I guess we're in an inescapable network of mutuality right now, in the words of the great Dr. King, straight up.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think for me, biggest thing was, you know, when you start to love yourself more, it kind of radiates on the outside. So for me, because I was already, you know, I was already kind of like, you know, getting into it with myself, like in a good way, like starting to really learn about myself. But then like being home with my family, just actually looking at the beauty of them, just looking at the beauty of every individual person. Like, even though, you know, sometimes they make you mad, you know, like you get frustrated, but just, you know, just being able to sit there and be like, man, you annoying.
I'm glad you're around.
That's incredibly powerful, because I mean, at the end of the day, if you don't love yourself, you're not gonna be able to receive or give love, you know, not
there
in
you
a
go.
Healthy
you're
way.
Not You're not
exactly
fit.
Because what it comes down to is the law of attraction and manifestation, you know, because how, if you don't like yourself, that's what you're going to be projecting onto other people, and that's what you're going to be attracting into your life. So yeah, loving yourself is very important to, you know, even
that's
bring real love into your
that's
life.
That's the secret. That's the secret.
Thank you for listening. And last but not least, we want to give a very special shout out to the StitchCast Studio sponsors: the City of St. Louis Youth At-Risk Crime Prevention Grant of 2020, Stewart Family Foundation, and Missouri Foundation for Health. To learn more, visit storystitchers.org.
They say who that, but you already knew that. That be them Story Stitchers. Story Stitchers. Story Stitchers. Story Stitchers. Story Stitchers.